Hey everyone, I'd like to welcome you to Fashion Intervention with Rise Like Phoenix. With me, as always, is my two best stylist friends, Giant Shock.
Looking dapper today, Dan.
And Max Barracuda.
Good to be here, looking sharp.
Now, today's intervention is going to be someone close and personal to us. Giant Shock, I want you to know you're in a safe place right now. You're surrounded by friends. I just have to let you know the fedoras that happened last summer, they're not happening this summer again. I'm sorry.
Bro, Jason Mraz would never steer me wrong.
No, they're just not hot this summer. I know you got a couple. They look good last summer.
Move on to a Kangol.
We all have stories here how your fedoras have affected us.
I retired my Kangols after Biggie died.
Max, you have a story about fedora, or you just want to talk about video games?
Let's get into it when I do fedora history this week.
Okay. Well, let's get to the video games.
Video games.
We're A Squad. This is the video game podcast, obviously. And we're going to launch into what we're playing right now.
A Squad. Come out to play. A Squad. Come out to play.
I forgot that was a thing.
I totally didn't have that queued up because you started, you know, come with the fedora thing. Like, even though I have it, like,
you didn't know how I was going to come at you?
Yeah, I didn't know that I was going to be so involved in that.
That's all right.
My bad.
Max, what are you playing this week?
Same thing as the past 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Wrapped up another campaign in Resident Evil 6.
Were you blowing through campaigns with different characters?
Yeah, I do a campaign a week. I'm not done with the Jake Mueller campaign, but I'm on the last level.
Is it still swaying you campaign by campaign?
This new one's the best one.
Yeah?
Yeah, like, I just realized I hated it so much because I just hated the Leon campaign so much.
You know, I think it's better to do it in ascending order. Like, you know, yeah. It's like, if you start off with the best campaign and then work on the second campaign, it sucks.
In
like,
the game, mm-hmm. when every campaign you do has slightly different mechanics. So, like, Leon is just a balls-out Michael Bay movie. And you think that'd be cool, but it comes off ridiculous.
No, I don't think that would be cool.
Meanwhile, this new guy, Jake Mueller, he's got more of a, you know, manhunt thing where he's being chased. And then there's a great...
Mueller.
There's a great scene where he's escaping from this prison, and you gotta get out of there without any weapons and just using, like, kicks and shit. So it's...
And he's gotta make, like, 10 baskets on the basketball hoop, right?
And then when
escape melee.
There is actually a part where you have to play the piano, and it gives you a key. So it's a little more reminiscent of the old
that's,
one.
That is bite off Umbrella, all right?
Well, it's Umbrella. Umbrella's back.
How are they always back? Like, can you get a new corporation?
Now it's a terrorist organization known as Neo Umbrella.
Are we giving them bailouts? Is the American?
Yeah.
How many times are you giving them bailouts?
Bro, you essentially destroyed the Umbrella Corporation in Veronica, which was a decade ago.
What else do they do? Where are they making money?
There's this corruption in big bioweapon.
Are Chris, Leon, and Claire the only people to know about the bad things that these people do?
I know. It gets a little ridiculous. They need to do something with the series. I know the new one comes out next week.
There's a new one?
Retribution, it's called.
And I know thanks.
It has a Chris Redfield.
I'm sorry.
Claire's in there. And I'm going to play it just because I'm into this one.
I just found out my roommate, G-Man, also owns Operation Raccoon City, so we're about to start that. I have someone to play it with.
A year later.
Yeah.
All right, Giant Shock, what are you playing this week?
Oh, man, we dusted off a little FIFA, went a little Euro style this week. I taught everyone how to play a little FIFA in my house, and it's been goal after goal.
You taught them Big Brother style, or you taught them spanky style?
No, I tried not to, like, no one would want to play me if I just, I'm just like, constantly like, goal, no.
So those are two horrible examples of different styles also. What I meant was, like, did you nurture them, like?
Yeah, I nurtured him like a flower.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Or did you send him to school hard not?
No, I didn't give him the injustice.
I guess that's what
the injustice rise treatment.
I guess that's what spanky means.
That's what I was trying for off the cuffs.
Well, that's what I didn't spank him like that. You know, they haven't really scored too many goals because, like, I mean, I'm willing to let them learn how to play, but I'm not willing to let get scored on. Like,
you're not gonna let them win.
Forget win. I'm not going to let them score on me. Like, I'm just like, nope, mm-hmm. You got to earn that.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
But nice. I introduced them to the whole, the announcers in the game, you can change them to any language. So obviously they're talking Spanish. And the Spanish announcers compared to the English announcers are so much better because, like, the English announcers are like, oh, that was Terrier-like defense. Oh, what a good play on the pitch. And the Spanish announcers, I don't really know what they're saying, but they're just, like, so into it. Yeah. It's like, oh, God! Like, they literally do that. It's awesome.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's the only way to play FIFA.
Nice. Well, I'm playing Scribblenauts Remix. It's
Ooh,
a game.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I got it for the iPad. My wife was away this weekend, so I had my kids. So they took up the TV a lot, so I had to find some on the iPad. It's kind of fun.
What is that game?
I played the original Scribblenauts. It's cool.
Well, I'm getting confused with Psychonauts.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Scribblenauts is a game about a kid named Maxwell who can actually do anything he wants. You type in anything. You're given a challenge. Like, you'll be on, like, a farm or something, and it'll say, get to the top of the barn. And if you type in ladder, a ladder appears. If you type in flying underpants, you're wearing flying underpants, and you can fly up there. If you type
they have that
in
many animations?
Anything.
Everything.
Anything. I literally threw everything I could possibly think at this game. Giant purple hamster, you know. Vulgarities, which weren't allowed, but
I always summon Jesus.
Yeah, you can summon Jesus.
Is he like
or Cthulhu?
Cool Jesus, like, you know, like
no, it's just a little Jesus dude.
Yeah,
yeah,
just kind of putters around.
You can tell who it is. I typed in Amelia Earhart at one point to fly my plane. She did.
Why would you type that person to type fly your plane?
Oh yeah, that's a good point. But
it's like
you should have typed Chuck
Sully
Yeager.
Sully, what his name is? Well, type in Sully. I'll have him fly my
Sully. Oh yeah, Sullivan.
Launchpad McQuack. He is a real life Launchpad McQuack. He's the only guy who got more jobs by crashing a plane.
But I actually decided to pick this up because Scribblenauts is coming out with a new game. It's Scribblenauts Unmasked. It's a DC adventure. It's got I saw screenshots of it.
Like DC Comics?
Yeah, Maxwell and his sister apparently have a bet. They're like two entities that can do anything they want. And they have some sort of bet. I don't know the storyline, but they end up in the DC Comics world where they show them in the in Batcave and in Aquaman's land and
I assume you could summon any character.
Anybody. Well, it looked like one of the missions was summon as many DC villains as you can.
When you say
I saw it was just covered.
When you say Aquaman's land, you mean the ocean?
Nah, his little Atlantis. But they really seem to get in depth with this. They were on Or for Green Lantern. Yeah, yeah, Oa. They were in a lot of different places. And that's the one thing that I noticed about Scribblenauts Remix. I beat it in its entirety this weekend, and the storylines were a little lame.
There's really no story that I can think of.
Well, not even that, but I mean the just getting on top of a barn in a farm and like the
Here's the thing with
the landscapes were a little
Scribblenauts suffers from what GTA suffers from, where it's got a mode where you're trying to get to the end of the game, but you're too distracted with all the shit you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So instead
of
getting on top of the barn, you're spending hours upon hours just trying to stump this thing on what you could type in that it's not going to produce.
That's a good point. This DC game promises to focus Maxwell a little more and actually give it a better story, so I'm looking forward to it.
I'll play that in a heartbeat.
All right, well, that's what we're playing this week. I'm playing Injustice 2, but let's not get into it.
Injustice podcast, right?
Yeah. Let's roll into the news right now. Those who may not know it, we're recording this on May 21st. Tomorrow is going to be that giant Xbox launch. So next week we're going to really be news heavy. This week,
well, it's
not so much.
20th today.
What?
Tomorrow's the 21st. That's what you meant to say, right?
They didn't know that. They didn't know that.
Otherwise, we'd be talking about it.
Yeah, man.
The Xbox launches today. It's the 21st, and Max Barracuda is wrong.
Yeah, but they're about to knock down PS4 to PS3.5, bro.
They're really about to spank it.
I don't know. I'm not convinced yet.
Not sure. We'll find out.
It's going to blow my mind.
We'll see. I hope.
In the news, however, that I am going to report is EA Games has officially stated they are finally killing that online pass.
Thank God.
They came out and said they were just trying to fund a better online experience. But
bullshit.
I know. They were just jelly that their retailers were taking the icing off their cake is what they were.
Exactly.
I don't know why they came out like that. Everybody knows what it was. It was a cash grab.
It was, they were just trying to like hate on the resale, really. Like,
I mean, the whole thing just reeked of greediness. And fuck them.
Well, yeah, but you know what? That's a good one. Score one for the gamers, you know?
I hope EA starts going back on some of the bullshit that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I never even thought of it, but maybe they were not about that, maybe because of Gamefly's. Because, like, I mean, how that even work with as far as Madden? If you couldn't even play it online, then it wouldn't be worth messing with it. You know?
I think a lot of people who do Gamefly
yeah.
are more like me. Like
I don't think a game. There's too many Madden Gameflies. Like,
yeah,
Madden's a game that, like, let's say you're a casual gamer, you could play that for a week and return it.
Nah, yeah, but they don't necessarily need to play it online against people. They don't.
I think people who buy Madden are in it to win it. I think they're there to own it.
I've never known a person to rent it ever.
Mm-hmm.
Every Madden player I know buys a new Madden every year for some reason.
I mean, you know, Madden's a pretty sweet title, but I mean, EA need to get rid of that. It was so stupid. You had to enter in like a 40-digit code or some shit, and like that just allowed you to play online. Like, and it was awful. And I'm a big sports game guy, and they didn't do anything else for you.
Yeah.
New, like, it just now you have
no.
To,
there were no perks. I mean, DC Injustice. If you guys have ever heard of this game, then
what's that?
It's a little title.
I recently been playing it. They have a really cool system of online that links the iPad. I mean, I've already talked about it and stuff, and that's all free. Come on, EA.
Well, was it a lot of TV shows started doing that, like Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. Like,
right, but EA is trying to claim that they're funding that kind of thing. You know what? It's already funded.
They got enough money.
Right.
They're not hurting.
Maybe not anymore.
Like, I could see if you got, like, the red zone on your, with your Madden purchase. But they don't. You could buy it as well, but you don't get it for free when you get like Madden.
Red Zone's the ESPN channel, right?
No. Red Zone is basically, it's like the Sunday package where you get to see all the football games. Like, it'd be worth it to pay the money for the online pass if I got to watch all the football games.
I don't know much about the foosball.
Yeah. It's a video game show.
Anyway, EA. On to more EA news. There's more beef on Twitter, if you can imagine that.
Ooh.
Senior software engineer and architect at EA, Bob Somerville, tweeted, and I quote, "Wii U is crap. Less powerful than the Xbox 360. Poor online / store.
True.
Weird tablet.
Yeah.
Nintendo are walking dead at this point."
He's got valid points.
If you're a game designer, you really can't get too excited about the Wii U.
No, you got nothing there.
No. I guess Nintendo probably took it pretty harsh because this came right after EA's big official admission that they have...
EA, you got the problem with me?
They have
what's the matter, you?
You got a problem with Mario?
They have no Wii U games in development, nor do they have any plans to start Wii U games.
Wow. Unnecessarily harsh, but kind of true.
Well, we said it months ago that the Wii U had brought nothing to the table.
No, but for a game designer, especially a big one like EA, to come out and just say, nah, not for us. I don't know. That's a pretty hardy
blow.
Look
at the product Nintendo did put out there. It was it's less innovative than their DS.
It's crap.
Like, you have
it. Well, you know, I don't even want to. It could end up being okay.
No, it's not. It's going to end up being some type of coaster.
No, this is the Sega Saturn of our day.
Yeah.
It's worse than that. Sega Saturn, at least...
Sega CD, maybe?
Sega CD of our day.
Hey, man, I got an affinity for
this. I know,
Sega.
But you're
right.
The one guy.
10 years from now, I might tell everyone, hey, you know, I got a special spot in my heart
this
for the Wii U.
This is the TurboGrafx-16 of its day.
Yo, Bach was a good game.
Neo Geo.
Look at you, Mr. Brightside.
There you go.
What? That system was total crap, but Bach was a good game.
The Jaguar of its day.
That was terrible.
There we go.
Had a tired keyboard controller.
It was awful.
We it took a while, but we got there.
You know, it was funny because that was 64-bit graphics, like... 5-6 years before, like, the 64.
And nobody cared.
No one cared, bro.
No, because it was, like, $700 or something.
It
was retarded.
A new ad on Amazon.com promises players that if you reserve Batman Origins, you get a $10 gift card and also free access to the Deathstroke playable downloadable content.
I'll do this.
But, I mean, this is revealing that the Deathstroke is going to be a playable character in the new game.
He's the focus of the trailer, A. B, he was in the initial released art for the game. And C, they did the same thing with the Joker in the first Arkham.
Right. That was going to be my question. Do you think it's going to be more of a Catwoman thing where he's actually an intricate part of the game? Or do you think it's going to be more of a just challenges maps?
I hope they weave him in a little bit. He's a cool character.
And if so, if they do weave him into the game, how do you guys think that they're going to do it? Do you think that maybe Batman and him are going to have to team up a little bit? I can't imagine forcing us to go against Batman.
Deathstroke in the comic is a little more of a gray area. He's not necessarily a villain. I mean, he's a bad guy, but
he likes that green. He likes that paper
exactly.
Money. That's it.
So, you know, and who's got more money than said Batman?
Bruce has a lot of green in the old crayon box. Maybe he's throwing Deathstroke.
And you watch the trailer?
Yeah.
Okay, so you see there that he's fighting, having this awesome fight in a shipping yard with Deathstroke. and that's interrupted by Deadshot firing sniper rifles from across the city at him.
Okay.
I think maybe, like, Deathstroke might get pissed off that other people are going for his mark, and he's going to go help take out, maybe not help, but just take out.
Oh, you think other people are effing with his mother effing money?
Yeah. And he's going to go, you know, take it. Batman doesn't have to take down every one of these dudes.
I'm not the comic book expert, but there's no way Batman's outsourcing this.
No, no, it would be an independent thing. Let's say Deadshot takes a shot at Batman, and Batman takes a hit and disappears. Then you switch over, you play as Deathstroke, who's now pissed off and goes after Deadshot.
Okay.
All right, I can see that.
I can like that.
But yeah, the way you were explaining, he's got all that green. Like, I don't know, man. Batman's is not that guy.
Yeah, he's definitely not that guy.
He's making it rain on Deathstroke.
But realistically, he could be more help to the city if he was that guy.
I could picture him, like, slipping him, like, a briefcase full of cash and going, like, get this guy. No killing, you know?
Like, realistic,
no, I can't.
Realistically, if Batman just threw out some ducats to some, like, Deathstroke-type people, and they just killed the Joker, like, everybody that Batman just wouldn't kill, Gotham would be, like, a really safe neighborhood.
And he wouldn't be violating his rules. Really.
Nah, there would be no, like, whoopee cushions blowing up, giving, like, Joker gas out, like, fucking Ra's al Ghul wouldn't be blowing up the city, like.
Right, it'd be nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I picture it. Yeah. I think he'll be playable within the story.
That's a good one. I didn't even think of that. I knew of Catwoman, but Catwoman has always been, you know, Batman.
Just as long
Batman's
as it's
buddy.
Not the Harley Quinn DLC, like, where it's like 15 minutes of nothing.
Don't get me started.
Well, at least it would be free if I got it from Amazon. The Harley Quinn, I had to shell out some real money.
What was it, like $8?
Yeah, it was like $10, I think.
Yeah.
$10 to $8.
I remember, was it Assassin's Creed, the last the one with Ezio?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was three. Oh, no, it was Revelation.
Revelation.
I had to pay like $4, but I got about an extra half an hour with the Leonardo da Vinci missions. I mean, that's like double the price and like less than bang. Like,
I know. That's my problem with DLC. It just gets less and less, and it's unnecessary bullshit, and they keep jacking up the price. It doesn't add anything to your game.
Nah.
That's debatable.
Multiplayer maps? Yeah, fine. Those are good.
Speaking of debates, let's roll into the debate since the news is pretty much done for this week.
Oh, I had a news story.
Expect a lot next week. Save it for next week. One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color. Martin Luther's talk. By the content of their character. I have a dream today. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
December 7th. 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
The Great Debate. I'll be cutting that down.
Wow, that goes on a while.
No, leave it. Make it longer.
More epic.
Every week.
I'll get Aragon in that. I'll get, like, Rudy.
Leonidas. Throw him in there.
He only says short stuff, though. Like, this is Sparta. He's going to get, like, a good...
You could just pepper it. Leonidas quotes.
Replay the whole movie.
No, Faramir. I'll have him saying what he says, like, the whole speech. Yeah, to start the movie off.
All right. So this week's debate, well, it's going to be a different format. I'm going to let you each go for about a minute, and then I'm going to allow a 30-second rebuttal from each at the end. To kind of try and contradict each other's statement.
You know, you could have warned us about the minute thing before I wrote this
No. I'm going to allow the full debate, but I'm going to allow like a 30-second rebuttal afterwards.
Okay, that's good.
All right, good, because I'm going off the cuff here.
Okay, all right, no. But this week we're going to be discussing, there's been a real mingling of games and the general public, and with new movies like Assassin's Creed and Silent Hill. Coming out, and... Gears has a book series, Halo has a book series, TV shows like Defiance, that has a mingling of the two, and there are shows about gamers like G4 and Code Monkeys and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing a real emergence of the gamer culture, or essentially our culture, mix into, much like the gay culture mixed in the 90s with all those 98
Degrees.
Shows. Right, which... Is that good or is that bad for us? That's pretty much where I'm going with this.
I'm going to be arguing the good, right?
Right. And and Max Barracuda, rather, is going to be arguing that it's not so good. Anyway, I'm going to flip this virtual coin right now. Somebody call it.
Heads.
It's tail.
So I go first?
You get the choice.
You get the choice.
I'll go second.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
let's kick this bitch.
Wait, I'm arguing for it, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm off the cuff here. All right. Well, basically, you know, they're 25 years ago about, they put out some shitty movies like The Punisher or Mario or Street Fighter 2. And, you know, we're coming into almost a nerd utopia here. And they're actually cradling these movies, and they're taking their time and actually trying to make them good instead of some, you know, studio exec being like, nah, put Bob Hoskins in it. You know, he was just in Hook. Like, I'm sure it'll make money. Like, they're looking for a franchise instead of just a quick, like, you know, summer blockbuster movie and to make money. Like, I think it's a good thing because it's also making it a lot more popular for everybody. Like, when, you know, going back 30 years ago, it was just young males that were playing the games. Now there's, you go, you know, to Comic-Con, all the girls are dressed up as Minecraft characters. You know, there's a ton of awareness out, you know, for video games now, and it's leading to, I think, solid movies and even more video games. You know, there's also another thing is they stopped doing the video games based on the movies, which I totally agree with, because every time they made a No, I'm talking about like a video game based, like, you know, Street Fighter, the movie game. You know, like, why don't you make a face at me?
Because I think of, I'll save it for
the Am I going to have to hood you like a falcon?
I'm going to save it for the rebuttal.
You can't stare at him.
I'm not staring.
All right, but, you know, they're actually taking their time with a lot of these movies now, and I feel that, you know, we're going to see, like, more Assassin's Creed. I think it's going to be a really great movie. They're actually, like, legitimate actors are going to be in it, like Michael Fassbender and whatnot. And I really feel that it's actually a really good thing for games, and you're gonna see a lot more games because of this.
Okay. All right. I can see that. Max, you got a little something?
Yes, I do. All right. I wrote out a little spiel here.
Of course you did.
And I got to apologize. My allergies are bad, so my voice is suffering pretty. I'm probably sound nasally as shit right now.
That's ear candy. Ear candy, my friend. As always.
Me. All right. Super Mario Brothers, Street Fighter, Double Dragon, Doom, Prince of Persia, Max Payne, Final Fantasy, we all know these names. And they all have names with a double meaning. Each of these has spawned numerous and respected game titles, but they also made the leap into mainstream media in the realm of film. And anybody who's played both versions of these games and seen the movies know which is the stronger of the two. And this is why it hurts the gaming industry for games to cross over into alternative media. Let's examine what is actually happening here. Take a game franchise that isn't talk for a film series. I chose Mass Effect. I personally have logged about 120 hours across three games in this series. My version of Commander Shepard is me. I control his actions, I choose his words carefully, I aim his weapon and decide whether or not to pull the trigger, and when a crew member dies, it haunts me. When Shepard falls in love, so do I. And the connection here isn't just Mass Effect. I mean, we've all lived a lifetime as Ezio Auditore. We've seen the death of his family, his peaceful end. We stood side by side with Dom Santiago and felt the pain when we found Maria as a shell of her former self. We've all been Lee Everett helping young Clementine through the zombie apocalypse, only to have to make the most difficult choices of all. Now I ask you the question, how can it be possible to take these powerful and long-lasting bonds that take days, weeks, even years to form and condense them down into a two-hour movie, a 24-page comic book, or a half-hour TV show? Answer is you can't. And that's why we don't have any high-quality video game-based franchises outside of gaming itself. The greatest asset of gaming is the ability to live the story in a way that no other medium can match. Games are unique to their players, making it impossible to adapt a game into anything else that meets everybody else's expectations. You're going to disappoint most of your audience. Even in multiplayer, you're subconsciously building your own mythology through your team, through your teammates, through how you choose to play the game, the decisions you make. What we need to do as a gaming culture is to stop hoping for the inevitable disappointing film adaptation, the canon-breaking comics or novels, or whatever other poorly executed cash grabs arise. We need to realize that games are the strength of gaming, games themselves. And I say we just stop and embrace this amazing and unique art form that we now have. Thank you very much.
That was good. Rebuttal?
Well, the heart of the argument is if it's good for gaming or not, and movies equal money and attention. So I feel that by not making movies, it doesn't help gaming at all, while making movies only brings new followers to it. So I feel that even if the movies do suck, we still remember Mario to this day, and we can watch it and laugh about it. You know, people didn't know maybe about Mario before that, but, you know, or even, you know, like now, there's a lot of a whole slate of games that are coming up that are going to be come movies. And a movie like, you mentioned Mass Effect, that's a game that wouldn't translate into, like, it's like it should be a TV show, not a game. You know, not a movie, I'm sorry. Like, it's like one of those things that's too epic to just break down into 2 hours. So I feel that was, like, that particular example wouldn't necessarily fit a movie or whatnot. So in general, I feel that any exposure is good exposure. And the fact that they put out comic books, movies, and whatnot, it's only good for video game I'm sorry, that's my rebuttal.
Rebuttal.
My rebuttal. All right, first of all, a couple of things you brought up. No girls dress in Minecraft outfits.
Yeah, they were all
small kids. And there are plenty of movie tie-in games. Plenty. Now, I think you missed the point of my argument, is that when you adapt a game, you're losing what made it special to you. And I think it's more important, I think it's better to not turn out any shitty project, any crap movie, than to put out the worst of the worst, a UA Bowl, which makes gaming a laughing stock. I mean, what would you rather have? Would you rather have no House of the Dead movie, or would you rather have a House of the Dead movie? Did that movie do anything to make you want to play House of the Dead? Did that make movie
hilarious.
Make you? Yeah,
you love it. You actually have screenings of that with your friend. It's one
I know,
of your favorite
but guess
watch.
What? I don't do. I don't play the game
because the game was not that great.
That's
it doesn't have a lot of replay value.
All right,
any of these movies, they don't pull in an audience. In fact, they just hurt the medium by making it seem silly.
All right, debate's over. I'm gonna have to give it to Maxis this week. He really did kill it. It was very thorough. Good job.
Thank you, sir. Golf clap.
I would have liked one of you guys to go into more of the societal approach of just cheapening it a little bit with the t-shirts and the hats.
I'm wearing a Resident Evil shirt. I can't say anything about that.
No, we can't. I mean, but
especially with my argument.
Right, but no. Good job. Good job. All right. So now we're going to give Giant Shock a chance to redeem himself, and we're going to roll into quiz time.
Ricky Hawk quiz, Hot Shot. Not the meanest. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to kick that son of a bitch Bison's ass so hard that the next Bison wannabe is going to feel it.
Quiz time.
All right, well, you guys might not know it at home, but I don't only do video games. Rides Like Phoenix is also a huge history buff, especially American history.
Oh, boy.
You guys might also not know this, but gaming has been an underlying player behind the scenes throughout American history, and a lot of significant things have been linked between the two. Well, tonight,
like, was that your Shatner right there? Like, what the fuck was that?
Have been link.
I felt something in my tummy rumbling. Anyway, tonight's test is going to be compromised of little tidbits that I found in my extensive research into the history of the United States and gaming.
Interesting.
There's going to be 7 questions, since there were only, there's only a limited quantity I could find, and 1 bonus. Each question is only going to be worth 1 point, and the bonus question, as always, you're going to be able to bet all your points.
Okay.
The first actual section, which is essentially the entire quiz, but the but the bonus, is going to be based on the Revolutionary War period.
Okay.
And the last one's actually going to be a world history question.
Prepare for a lot of Assassin's Creed 3.
No. It's not even mentioned.
I have
it's
no idea
even
how
mentioned.
This is going to work, so.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Number 1. And I'm also going to give a little more time for people to play at home, because I've been getting complaints on the internet about that. So, number 1. In 1775, Paul Revere set upon his famous midnight ride, galloping into the night and warning colonialists with screams of, "The cake is a lie! The cake is a lie!" Mr. Revere obviously ripped off which famous game? Give it a little time. You guys remember your 11th grade history? Max.
I believe that would be Portal.
You're correct, sir. You have 1 point.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're doing here now.
It's like a long-winded thing.
I'm just throwing the question in there.
All right.
It has been speculated that President Andrew Jackson, 7th President of the United States, Army general, comma, lunatic, is said to have participated in over 100 duels. What's not widely circulated is that many of these were in the arcade. Name three arcade games that employ the light gun technology. Giant Shock.
House of the Dead, Lethal Enforcers, and Virtua Cop.
You have a point.
You're so organized.
Dude,
you
I don't know.
A fuckload of papers there.
What happened to the iPad?
I had the iPad. That's a lot of typing.
He has the iPad paper right here.
Right. Gotcha. I have the original iPad.
He's gone analog.
It's called a notebook. When beloved seamstress Betsy Ross wasn't hemming up the well-known symbol of freedom, the American flag, she was busy hemming up noobs in the spider, which has such characters as Gunrock, Wang Tang, and Apollos.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I'm going to kick myself.
Betsy Ross is a big Power Stone player.
Power Stone.
Like, anyone was going to get a fucking character from Power Stone?
You got to know your history.
I know what they look like. I don't know the names.
Yeah, I know your history. It's all there in the book.
Was there ever a sequel or was it ever on another system besides Dreamcast?
There was Power Stone 2, yeah.
On Dreamcast?
I don't remember. It was in the arcades, too.
Was it an arcade game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Famous author Francis Scott Key, responsible for the lyrics found in the Star-Spangled Banner, attributed his main inspiration for the moving ballad not to his music teacher, as many people believe, but to his fondness of this game, in which a hip-hop pooch shows off his mic skills to other species of animals. Max Barracuda.
Parappa the Rapper?
You are correct. Big Parappa fan.
I thought that game was going to be totally different when I bought it. It was just a button sequence game. It was like, this sucks.
Me too. I think we all did. All right, you guys ready for this other tidbit in history?
Mm-hmm.
Upon his arrival at the site for the Battle of Little Bighorn, General George C. Custard was quoted as screaming out, "I came here to lose wars and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of gum." Which famous video game antihero was he most likely quoting?
Duke Nukem?
Giant Shot.
Duke Nukem.
Yes.
Which technically was taken from They Live.
Well, I know that.
I knew that too.
I'm just saying it's not video game related. But
it's a video game.
Well, that character is based on They Live, and I was like, all right. Well,
yeah.
Like, right.
Dude, if I'm wrong, I'm just wrong. I'm looking at it.
No, I'm just tagging up on it.
Yeah.
Last question. You each have two. Sexual Jackrabbit and Notorious Cheapskate.
I'll take the Sexual Jackrabbit.
John Tyler, 10th President of the United States, despite having 15 kids, only saw fit to shell out enough money for one Super Nintendo for Christmas. I don't know.
Is there a question in there?
There's a bit of a stretch. Luckily, the kids could scrape it together enough money for a multi-tap. What game came bundled with the SNES multi-tap? Give it 5 seconds. Giant Shot.
Bomberman?
I'll accept that. It was Super Bomberman.
Mm. I'll accept that. I would have been way off.
Where'd you know? What did you think?
Multiplayer is my shit.
I didn't really have an idea. I was going to be like Mario Kart or something.
I had every...
You're not a big history buff.
I had every last extension for that stupid SNES.
Okay.
You were the guy I knew who had a multi-tap.
This is the bonus question. It's let's see if Giant Shot can do it. He's got 3. Max has 2. Max won the debate this week, which has never happened. Let's see if the whole world is going to flip upside down. This one has to do with world history.
We got a bet points?
Mm-hmm.
Max?
Bet them all?
I bet them all, too.
Okay. According to Ranker.com, Adolf Hitler was voted as the biggest turd burglar in the history of the world. Name the baby monkey from Monkey Ball. Wait, oh. John Shock.
Is it baby? Right?
Yeah. No, wait.
Is it? Well, you don't even know.
No, baby's the girl. Baby's the girl.
I don't know it.
No, wait. No, you're right. Baby was the baby.
Do you have the answer there?
I do know. He wrote the question down without the answer.
I know, right? What?
That was the last one I wrote, and I actually ran out of the house, but it is Baby.
What was the one you were thinking, though?
Bobo?
Bobo was the main...
Was the main dude. And then, Chi-Chi. Chi-Chi was the female, right? Baby was the baby.
A quick off the subject, well, on the subject story about Super Monkey Ball. Razzle King's brother.
No, don't tell that story.
Full Metal Peaks. Punch him in the face over a game of that. And it was awesome.
I was really taunting him.
Over Monkey Ball, really?
Yeah, I was really taunting him.
It was a little mini game where you like got to fly a little monkey ball on a little platform for points.
Right.
And he kept knocking his ones off and like really getting his face about it. And but it was
I think more importantly, we owe you a round of applause.
Yes.
It was well done.
A little switch this week. You won the debate. I won the fucking quiz.
Yep.
The mess of a quiz it was.
I liked it. I thought it was funny as hell.
The main protagonist of Monkey Ball, by the way, I just looked it up, is I, and the girl is Mimi. But the baby is Baby. So...
You did say baby monkey.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is.
That's true. Okay. So we're going to move on to... let me get my notes together. History of gaming.
History of gaming.
Okay. We decided last week we're doing Sonic. Little Sonic the Hedgehog. And
I'm super duper excited about it.
This is for you, Rise, because you selected it from my list.
Super duper.
As usual, if you have any game you want me to go over, tweet me at PIB Comics. PIB for Painted Black. All right, so Sonic's origins. According to the issue 260 of Nintendo Power, Sonic creator Yuki Naka, hope I get that right, revealed how he came up with the idea for Sonic. And that came from Super Mario Brothers, level 1-1. So, you know, you couldn't really skip ahead in Super Mario Brothers in level 1-1. So these games became essentially speedruns.
Right.
Where he would just blast through that level as quick as possible, getting it pretty fast. And that pretty much influenced him to do a speed-based platformer.
What game didn't Mario?
Mario inspired everything. But
not Lethal Enforcers.
This one, there's a specific level of Mario that actually paved the way for it.
Okay.
Sonic's first appearance was not actually in Sonic. He was in a game called Radmobile. I don't know if you guys remember Radmobile arcade game.
Did it come out in the 90s?
Oh, yes, it did.
Sounds like it.
It was released 3 months before the first Sonic game. And the only place you see him, he's actually your air freshener.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's awesome.
There's a little Sonic dangling from the rear view.
Is that a Sega game?
Yeah, Sega arcade game. Now, fun fact, Radmobile, do you guys remember Encino Man?
It's the game with the red car they're racing, right?
Yeah. It was the game Brendan Fraser played a lot in Encino Man.
Now I remember that, but I played that after I played Sonic the Hedgehog, because I was like, oh my god, it's Sonic. And
well, they were only,
I remember that.
Yeah, only 3 months apart.
Okay.
Okay, let's see. The inspiration behind Sonic's look. His red shoes were inspired by Michael Jackson's boots. His color scheme.
Which ones? I mean, yeah, like
the
colors.
Red ones.
Okay.
His color scheme was kind of based off of Santa Claus. And his personality was based off of Bill Clinton, especially Bill Clinton's campaign slogan that year of "Get things done."
Was he smirking at people and giving the old ah?
Was he catching like BJ's from Heffa Hogs, bro? Like,
actually, my next point, I will point out his original name too, Mr. Needle Mouse.
Was Slick Willy Sonic?
Slick Willy Sonic. So early concept of Sonic shows that a lot of things changed. He originally had fangs. They got rid of those.
I would have liked that.
He was supposedly in a rock band. They got rid of that.
He was in the cartoon. He was in a rock band.
Yeah, but that was really...
There was like three cartoons.
Part of the game.
One of the cartoons he was
in. Oh, there have been more than three. There were three in the 90s. Mm-hmm. There have been like 35 by this point.
The game's not even around anymore. He's still getting cartoons?
So crazy.
Real quick, since it's Sonic related, what was your favorite version of the Sonic cartoon?
It's between the really goofy one.
Mm-hmm. With the one with the little drill character and
the drill and the rooster. Or the one where he was like a for real freedom fighter and
Sonic. He could really move.
Sonic, he's got an attitude. Sonic, he's the fastest thing alive.
Yeah, that one was by far my favorite, where he like found his dad and his dad was like fighting off being a robot.
He turned his dad into a robot, and the rings actually did things, like they gave him power.
Mm-hmm.
His bad guy was Dr. Wily, right?
No,
Robot. That's Mega Man, Robotnik, or Eggman.
Which Eggman, I know him as because all the tennis game.
We're getting to that here. Well, in a minute. I just want to point out he also in early concepts Sonic had a human girlfriend initially for the first game. She was an overly sexualized, heavy-breasted woman in a slinky red dress named Madonna.
In a video game?
In a video game. I know, hard to believe. But it's pretty obvious why they got rid of this, especially in America.
It's like a bite of a Roger Rabbit.
Or bestiality?
The bestiality thing I was thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, totally copy Roger Rabbit.
She looks a lot like Jessica Rabbit from the neck down.
Okay.
Just do like brown hair or something like that?
Yeah. Now, there's been a lot of Sonic comic book series throughout the years. Back in the 90s, they actually explained his origin story, which I don't think is canon, but I think it's funny.
Mutagen.
No, it's even stupider. Sonic was a regular hedgehog in a lab until he had a weird accident involving a hamster wheel, some sneakers, and they gave him blue fur and super speed. So initially he was a normal brown, boring-looking hedgehog until he got these sneakers, which gave him superpowers.
Was Wally West involved in any way?
Yeah, he broke the Flash Force.
Okay.
He's actually blue. We talked about this last week because that's just the color of the Sega logo. Like, that's the real reason he's blue.
Mm-hmm.
Now for a weird one. Sonic always has like a weird dark edge to it that you don't realize.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, Sonic's Sega CD, your system, dude. What are you chuckling at, over?
Sonic has a real dark edge to him. He's not collecting rings.
No, they hid weird things into these games.
Like dark things? Like in the background, you can see like Tails hanging himself or something.
Yeah.
Sandcastle penises.
Shit, very similar to that.
Awesome.
Here's one, for example. They had piracy checks because I guess game piracy was big with the Sega CD. So for Sonic CD, if you actually put in a pirated game, it wouldn't start the game. It would cut you to a screen of Sonic with a demon face, like a real creepy face. I urge you to look this up. Google image search will pull this up. And it has some like really creepy, distorted music. And he's got like this old man face. And there's like this laughter going on in the background. And it just says, "Fun is infinite with Sega Enterprises," with the signature reading Majin. Majin meaning devil in Japanese.
That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Well, now I know what Majin Buu means.
Yeah. What?
Devil Buu.
Why wouldn't they just have Don't Steal Our Game, dickhead?
No, they went all out. There's a lot of hidden...
Sonic flipping you the bird.
There's a lot of hidden art in the Sonic games. Like, if you could actually, even without a pirated copy, you could go into the sound tests. Like, you insert codes and they play the different sounds. And all this stuff is hidden within the sound stuff. So you can find these hidden images... You could find this one where it's a tribute to Frank Miller's The Dark Knight. Only
really?
It's Sonic super buff, and his spikes look more like the Batman ears with the lightning bolt in the back.
That's awesome.
Nice.
And another thing, the darkness thing. In that same game, if you put the controller down and just walk away for about a minute, Sonic will kill himself.
So it's that toe, right?
No, he'll kill himself.
The pirated version.
No, this is the real version. If you wait around long enough, Sonic jumps off a ledge.
I've walked away from that game for a while. I've never seen him do that.
It kills you.
I've seen him pretty cross-armed and tapping those feet.
Yeah, looking at his watch and
shit. Well, this is Sonic CD, so this isn't like any other Sonic game.
I never got Sonic. I had the... I just got... He was regular. He didn't go CD for me.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let me jump into the previously mentioned Robotnik. Robotnik was actually based off two things, an egg and a picture of Teddy Roosevelt.
He does look like Teddy Roosevelt.
Look at a picture side by side. They both got the round glasses, the big mustache, the wide grin.
Aw, Teddy.
They look pretty spot on.
I don't want to mention it because it breaks my heart, but he's also in a wheelchair.
No, that's Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I'm a history master.
You're giving us a history.
Well, I was going to say, is a rooster and the drill guy like called the Rough Riders then? Like,
yeah. Well, actually, Robotnik was originally designed to be a hero.
Really?
Yeah. During the beginning of the 16-bit era, Sega had an internal competition to develop a franchise that would be able to compete with Mario. Sonic won out, but the runner-up character was actually an early version of Robotnik. Same face, but wearing pajamas.
No one wanted to play that guy as a hero.
Well, Sega liked the character so much that they decided to keep him around.
That's why Sega doesn't sell consoles anymore.
That's why they turned him into the big, weird-looking villain that they did.
Was he as large as he was in the
No, game? He was short and stout, same head, pajamas, carrying a pillow. Little, like, poofy hat.
He was the Sleepies guy?
With like an old man face?
Same face. Same Robotnik face. It's just, I think they were going for more of a Mario vibe.
Okay.
Where he's kind of short and chubby with a big mustache.
Weird looking. Yeah. I can see that.
Mario's a plumber, though, cleaning pipes.
Well, Robotnik was sleepy. I don't know. This is Dr. Lippy Robotnik. rejected names for him were Mr. Bad Year, Dr. X, Dr. Gloom, and Fatty Lobotnik.
Fatty Lobotnik is the name right there. That's what I want to go with. Yeah. Mr. X is just some douche not trying.
Well, it's Dr. X or Mr. Badger. I kind of like Mr. Badger.
Mr. Badger is stupid.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Mr. Badger?
It sounds like a bad 80s hair metal song.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dr. Feelgood or Dr. Badger.
Motley Crue sucked.
You mentioned Eggman before.
Eggman, yeah.
And why suddenly they changed his name from Robotnik to Eggman? That's because Sega was trying to retcon the whole thing and kind of streamline the Sonic mythology by only going with the Japanese name. So he's actually just Dr. Eggman in Japan. So Sonic Adventures on the Dreamcast came out. I had no idea why they kept calling him Eggman. I was like, that's Robotnik.
I have Sega All-Stars tennis game, and he's Eggman, not Dr. Robotnik. I was just like...
Yeah, everything post-Dreamcast. He was Eggman.
I like Robotnik better. I'm a Robotnik guy.
Eggman's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Eggman's... No.
All right, well, next, look at a picture of Knuckles, and you see he's got a white half moon on his chest, right?
Mm-hmm. So he's Muslim.
He's a pagan.
Halfway there. He's missing a little star. Right. But that actually was a remnant from a leftover promotional deal with Nike that didn't work. It was originally going
to be... Oh, my God.
Was originally meant to be the swoosh. And the deal fell through, so they went with the half moon.
Wow.
Well, that was, I guess, at the time where, like I remember the spot game. And
Cool spot.
And then the Dominoes had their character game.
Avoid the Noid.
Avoid the Noid is good.
I was like, yo, we could throw product placement in video games? No way.
Little things outside of the Sonic games themselves. I got two little facts here.
Quick question. That Knuckles game, was that the only game ever to have that technology where like you could dump the old games on top of it?
Good point, because technically that wasn't technology. That was kind of a promotional stunt. The game was too big to fit onto one cartridge. So what you're essentially plugging into is just a memory pack that contained the Knuckles information.
It just gave you... playing that the like Sonic 2
Sonic and Knuckles
with Knuckles as a character.
Sonic and Knuckles is just the full version of Sonic 3.
Alright.
Like it was nothing more than just like a little extra RAM that they could fit another character in there.
Okay.
I gotcha.
And no, that has never been used again. I guess because consoles soon died after. Well, like, when I was cartridges, I should say.
Well, I guess it was like it had a couple more years in the sun. But I remember as a kid, I thought that was the coolest thing.
Oh yeah, it was awesome at the time because it's like two games in one. No.
Did anyone else try like I did
put other games in there?
Yeah, I wanted Knuckles and everything.
Yeah, that's why it didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, SNES and Genesis were pretty heated during this time. They had, Sega does what Nintendo don't. Mm-hmm. You had blast processing. And it got heated to the point where, like, even a game like, I don't know if you remember, Uniracers for the Super Nintendo. It was a game where you raced unicycles.
No, I don't remember that.
In an extreme way.
No, like I don't down the hill?
It loop-de-loops and huge jumps. But if you actually go into that
picture
game.
Picture pilotlings on one wheel.
Yeah. It was a total piece of shit.
Sounds but radical.
It was Nintendo's way of like introducing the speed game,
mm-hmm.
like against Sonic. So if you actually go into that game, they ask you to enter your name. If you put in the name Sonic, it stops the game and goes, "Not cool enough."
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
And a little extra thing on Sonic milestone, I should say. In 1993, Sonic became the first video game character to appear as a balloon in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Really?
They then got
he
rid of
beat
him.
Mario?
They brought him back in 2011.
Well, Pikachu.
Number two was Pikachu. To this day, he's still around. Sonic is actually back since 2011.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is Pikachu in any shape, way, or form based on Sonic? Like,
no, not really.
Considering they got like the kind of same little cute vibe to him.
I don't really see the resemblance personally.
I guess not. I don't know.
He gets a little mousiness.
Yeah, a little mouse. Like,
that's about it, though.
One's a hedgehog. One's an electric yellow rat.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
All right. Okay. Throw it out there.
No.
But that's about what I got.
So all right.
Sonic trivia.
So that's history. I always love the history, mainly because I don't have to do it. No, but you always do a quality job. Right now, we're going to go into Fantasy Glitch.
Glitch.
People who don't know, Fantasy Glitch is where A-Squad comes up with a couple of things that might not necessarily happen or might, but... aren't around right now, and we would like to see happen. So, Max, why don't you kick this bitch?
All right. Not a big fan of mine, but I thought it might be an interesting idea.
You're not a big fan of your own fantasy list.
No. Yeah, I don't think it's going to work out, but...
This is now that the PlayStation 4 is out...
I want sticky controllers. Yuck.
I almost had a joke that I decided not to go that route.
I know.
Now that the PS4
like
is coming
out. Like my keyboard. No, never mind. Okay.
Lots of game developers are coming forward and saying how they've never had a system this easy to program for. So what I would like to see is a lot of new independent programmers coming forth and introducing new IPs, you know, intellectual properties. And we could get some new franchises going. So I think as a way to kind of speed this up and have this really go, Sony should actually have some sort of online competition. I just called it IP Idol for now, where you basically... You have a bunch of guys, whoever wants to participate, you go through a vetting process, they release a level of their game, and then you have tournament bracket style to decide what the next big Sony intellectual property is going to be.
Oh, and then Sony will like pay for a giant search engine for a giant game engine for them.
Sony would end up paying for an international release and a finished version of the game, but you basically have these people releasing various demos, different levels.
I mean, you'll probably get like 4 or 5 good games out of that tournament. Like,
easily. Yeah. Easily.
That would be awesome. They'd really have to jump on board, though. I'd like to see it happen before the new system comes out.
At least get it.
Well, all those independent game companies, they only have, like, you know, 2 to, like, 10 people working at them. Like, so they can't really move that fast.
Well, think of any reality competition. I mean, you're basically... Look at... All right, Last Comic Standing. That's guys who have been in the industry. Comics. They're actually big comics. Maybe, like, professional comics who are struggling a little bit, and they jump on that show for a little exposure. I mean, this would be the same thing. These smaller little studios could hop into this.
Yeah, but it's not the same. Like, writing new material is not the same. It's like, it'd be like having a reality show, like, lawn mowing acres of land. Like,
well, you would give a little time, have them develop the stuff, and if it worked out, then they would release
a big tournament. Like, that'd be kind of cool.
Well, they don't have to start from scratch either. There are small video game studios who have been trying to make a decent video game size or whatnot for like years.
Yeah,
you know, there are video games out there that we'll probably never see that people put their heart and soul into.
Yeah,
absolutely. I really like that.
Well, they take, I mean, those, you know, those independent games take about like 2.5-3 years to come out with. When like a full studio only takes about a year. But
well, pretty much what I'm proposing isn't a full game. Mm-hmm. You win the competition, you get the full game.
Yeah, maybe throw the story out there.
Yeah, you're a runner-up.
How would you run the competition? Or you have no idea.
I would do it all. If it's Xbox, I would do it via Xbox Live, PlayStation Network.
Votes. That's what I would do.
Plays.
Feedback.
It's not only it's the easiest thing to do. You don't have to hire anyone.
Let the people decide.
Cool, man. I like that.
I like that one, too. John, what do you got?
All right, well, I don't want to get like too much like 2001 A Space Odyssey, but I kind of want like... one Xbox or like one PlayStation console, right? That could power up, that you could put like, I guess, receivers to any one of your TVs in your home, and you could just run it like streaming wise throughout the entire house. And so like, you know, like if I actually run like 3 or 4 Xboxes in my own home, just because like, you know, everywhere I have a TV, I pretty much have Xbox because I'll stream videos and all that stuff. But I kind of wanted to have it like, you know, I'll have it maybe in my main TV, but it'll also stream up to my TV upstairs,
almost like the old LAN wires, right? Like wireless, the LAN parties we used to have, but of course,
completely wireless. Maybe via through the internet or something like that. But yeah, man. I want all the games to be, you know, on the hard drive of the initial Xbox, so I don't have to, you know, mess with discs or anything. So that it can kind of work in the sense where I go up to a TV in my den, flip on a game, you know, I turn it off, go back up, continue the same game in my bedroom.
So we're talking just a streamlined way for you to not have 9 Xboxes lying around.
Yeah, I think it would clean up, especially with the whole wireless wire
especially
thing.
Especially for people who just have a TV in every room and they don't necessarily want to buy another
system. That would be sweet. Even if they could have my main console downstairs and I could go upstairs and maybe play off the same console with my controller on the upstairs TV might be one up in it.
You have to buy, the only thing is you have to buy an adapter. Let's call it like $120. That's what the wireless adapter is for the you know, Xbox in general.
No, in my fantasy it's much less.
I'm just realistically it's probably going to be something like that. Like, it would be something like that. But you know, you plug it into your TV and you don't ever have to worry about your Xbox going down.
Mm-hmm. No, it's only $15. Thank you, Bill Gates.
Yeah, literally, it's with the top Xbox package you buy, you get unlimited of them. All right, like
unlimited.
Yeah,
or paper the whole neighborhood.
Fantasy glitch.
Yeah, fantasy glitch. Right. No, but seriously, like something like that, where I just plug it into one of the HDMI inputs, And, you know, I could play my Xbox on any TV in my house.
I love it.
That way you don't have to worry about syncing your controller up to a different fucking Xbox every time.
Every single time.
Because I have that problem where, like, I'll take a controller, go to a game, and I'm like, my fucking Xbox is going on in my room.
Yeah.
Because it says I'm player one.
Yeah.
And this Xbox is not on.
Right.
So I would like that, just, you know. But I don't want to talk him back to me and be like, no, I'm sorry, I cannot do that.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Goes all howl.
No, I like that one, man. That's a good fantasy glitch. My fantasy glitch pertains to the game that I'm in love with right now, Injustice, which I kept to a minimum, by the way.
You got yourself an Injustice tattoo.
Mm-hmm. He was starting to get the Injustice shakes until now.
I was. I'm smiling from ear to ear just thinking about it, but... it actually pertains to all fighting games, and I would like a game variant, like, across the board, where a player can only use a special move a set amount of times in a match. Like, a Ryu would maybe be able to throw 3 fireballs, and that's it.
Like, he's out of gas, he's just like,
No, you just can't do it. You can't spam people. I
personally love this idea.
Especially with Injustice. I'm so tired of having that goddamn boulder drop on my head when I'm playing Sinestro.
Like a meter of, like, a special move?
Well, you just join this particular variant. You could do it a numerous amount of ways. You could do it a meter, which is kind of what the iPad Injustice game does. But even more basic, look, you get 3 boulder drops or 3 fireballs or whatever, and then you get 3 of another move. But that's it for the whole match. And it would force players to do a little more hand-to-hand combat and learn a little bit and be a little more sparse with their spamming.
Well, I think that it should be a meter, but even lower, and the only way you could refill that meter is by comboing.
Throw a little fisticuffs in there,
yeah,
right?
Throw some punches.
I'm
sick of fighting Deathstroke, and I'm sick of fighting Sinestro, where it's just...
Or Ryu, or whoever it was.
Hadouken's not as nearly obnoxious. It's not, obnoxious,
it's not but it was back in the day.
No, it wasn't. I used when to just jump over that.
Yeah, I got tired of computer. Really. I got tired of all... I forget which variant of Mortal Kombat it was, but I remember... I could get frozen from 10 different ways in one of these Mortal Kombats where it was coming down from me. He's shooting it underneath my feet. He's throwing snowballs and shit at me. I couldn't deal with it.
I definitely think as more of these fighters got advanced, it lost a lot of the hand-to-hand combat.
Which, personally, I don't like as much. I don't like having to spam moves. Because then you got the one guy who's got the move that you just can't block, and it just... becomes redundant.
Every game's gotta.
Then you log in.
Have a cheesiest person.
You log in online, and he's going for Sinestro. He's going for Deathstroke. I know what I'm up against. Okay. Right.
Well, that's why I always enjoyed Street Fighter and Tekken the most, because Tekken didn't have any projectiles, and Street Fighter, the projectiles were never going to win you the game. Like,
exactly. Mm-hmm. You need some skill.
Like, the only one who could be even really, really cheap was Saget. Because you got like high one low, and then when you got close to me, you had the fucking tiger rubber.
But you could be cheap, and that's the point. And
only really with one.
Well,
character.
Street Fighter, they didn't let you back up as much as they do in the modern fighting games. Yeah, but you can't fight as far away from
the fluidity of the jumps is so better. Like, there's, I don't think a game has ever come out where the jumping has been so tight as Street Fighter ever.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, Marvel, you could always do
and plus
the
you
could
block in the air. Like, I never had a game where I could block in the air.
Right.
If you were jumping, you could
press back. That's a fallacy.
That was later Street Fighter.
That's a fallacy of Injustice. You can't block anything.
Blocking is in general pretty hard.
Uh-huh.
Like, especially with some of the attacks. Like, how the fuck do you even block the Sinestro attack where he drops that shit on you?
You're standing back.
Exactly.
It's a standing back.
You gotta, like, jump out the way. Like,
or dart forward or something.
Yeah.
Then you just get the fucking...
I don't know. I would just like to see that. And when I say across the board, I mean, like, there's a lot of games out there that have Capture the Flag. That's not essentially just a Halo or a Call of Duty or anything. That's just an adoption of all games, and I'd like to see this adopted by all games.
I'm a fan.
Well, how would you do with the shooters?
Well, all fighting games.
Right.
Numb nuts.
You just started mentioning Call of Duty, Capture the Flag. I was like, oh, you have something for that, too? Okay.
You'll get it when you listen back to the podcast. All right. So those were all pretty good, mine being the best. Obviously.
I don't think so, Dan.
No, I think A-Squad's going to start coming out of the closet.
Hot stuff coming through.
Dad, why did you bring me to a gay steel mill?
I don't know.
Coming out of the closet.
All right, coming out of the closet is where A-Squad reaches deep into their closet and they pull out an old school game. I'm going to go first. I'm going to go with a whole series of games, and that was the Mutant League games.
Mutant League.
They were awesome.
Those were fun.
I used to love those. They were all sports football? Related. Yeah, they had Mutant League football, Mutant League hockey.
I had hockey.
Uh-huh.
I only really remember football. I didn't know they had a whole...
No, there was a couple of them.
Yeah these were... Mutant League football actually was introduced in 93, and it based off the 93 Madden engine. So it played exactly like it, but you could kill each other and rip off arms. And
yeah, you'd disembowel your...
Yeah, these were obvious mutated people.
Yeah, they should definitely... like things always like to go back to retro. They should have definitely brought that back in some incarnation at some the newer systems.
I don't know why they haven't. I mean, they have the NFL Hits games, but they're not the same.
I think that's a big failing of modern games in general, is especially what I mean, the sports games. That we were talking before the show about essentially three companies own every sports game.
Mm-hmm. Well, that you can only use the licensing.
The licensing. But there's could, ways around it.
Yeah.
Right here, Mutant League. There's not enough good fictional sports games going on.
No.
That aren't just based in the NFL, NHL.
The last fictional sports game I remember playing, it was sort of like a European handball style game with like these like guys in super suits.
I remember playing that with you.
It was really fun.
I forgot the name of it.
You
could
like chainsaw a motherfucker to death in the middle of the field.
Yeah, that's
what was that game?
I forget the name.
I think it was called DBZ. It's like Dead Ball Zone.
Oh, Dead
Ball Zone. Ball Zone. Yeah. Was that it?
It could be.
Oh, look, I had it. I'm almost. It was on PS2, and I'm almost positive it was called Dead Ball Zone.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact game.
I got it right here.
But I remember playing it with you.
It was a PS1 game.
PS1, all right.
Dead Ball Zone.
Yeah, and it was...
Oh man, looking at like the screenshots, it was awesome.
Yeah,
I remember that.
All right, so what you bet? Like Mutant League was an incredible game, man. I love ripping people. I remember you could bury them in the fucking field.
Yeah.
The screenshot I just pulled up is the most wicked like kick to the net I've ever seen. Like this guy's leg
is
about
DBZ. That was Dead Balls.
Half his like length, just whack.
Anyway, yeah, I'd like to see Mutant Leagues come back, and I used to love it. Max, what do you got?
All right, I was thinking a little bit about free-roaming games, like sandbox games and the upcoming GTA, and took me to Body Harvest, which was a Nintendo 64 game from 1998.
I remember the name more than I remember the game.
I don't remember the game at all.
Free-roaming environment. You could drive any vehicle that you could get your hands on, and it was essentially a post-apocalyptic story where the world had been conquered by giant insects. And it was very B-movie, like pretty ridiculous. You know,
the one with Jerry Seinfeld?
No, not that one. Patrick Warburton wasn't in it.
Okay.
Yeah, you're basically fighting giant bugs, driving around in whatever vehicle you could get your hands on. I mean, looking back, the landscapes were pretty bleak looking. They were going for this kind of wastelandy look.
They were also saving on shrubbery.
Yeah. But the cool thing was you could go anywhere. And it was like one of the first 3D games where you could go anywhere, drive anything.
No, why did they call it that?
Body Harvest. Because the bugs were harvesting people.
Oh, okay.
For meals.
I thought it was a much darker undertone like Sonic.
Nothing gets as dark as Sonic.
All right.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
All right, John, what do you got?
I'm going back to 1998, 97, 98, and it's a game called WWF Attitude. And I know Max Barracuda had it, and it was one of those games that came out right after WCW versus NWO, the first one. And I just was, I guess, naive. I was like, you know, I was like 14 at that time, and I was like, it's gonna be just like that, but with the WWF guys, it's gonna be great. And they claimed it, and it was just one of the fucking stupidest wrestling games ever. And I remember they had The Rock in it. He kept doing crane kicks all day, like that's all he did.
This was the worst wrestling game ever made.
WCW had some bad ones after THQ left them, like real bad ones.
Okay,
but. That game, I remember I was so jacked for it, and I was waiting all this time, because this is like the height of the WWF Attitude. It was like Stone Cold was at his prime, The Rock was coming up, you had Mankind doing his thing, and I was so excited for it, and I remember getting it and just being like, oh man, this sucks.
It was
awful.
That was the one where they like had almost real live actors, like it wasn't blocky, like it looked kind of...
No, it wasn't polygony like the THQ games. It was, they definitely put like the little balls on Rock and like Stone Cold, and had him like motion,
but the control was really bad.
But it claimed it, so they did it like a fighter.
And I remember trying to pull off a special move, like a stunner or a rock bottom.
Yeah,
was next to impossible.
It was like doing a finisher in like Mortal Kombat.
Yeah,
it was like, I remember forward up was the Rock's and punch. It was the rock bottom.
It's kind of coming back. I remember being a big fan of WCW with you, but I never actually watched the wrestling so much. It just came up with my own storylines while playing the wrestling game with you.
Yeah, but this was a total bummer, and I was a huge Royal Rumble fan, right? But they only had 18 characters in the game, so you couldn't even have a full Royal Rumble, while the THQ WCW game had like 60 characters. And but their big thing was you could make your own character, which was the one thing I could take away from the game, which set all those games, you know, on another path.
Yeah. All the moves in this game, too, were motion captured.
Yeah.
So it was actually, like...
Very stiff.
Very stiff, but it was in an attempt to make it... To get it fluid, they used the Hardy Boys to make it, to do all the mocap stuff.
Okay.
So you'd think they'd be... Those guys were athletic. You'd think they'd be flipping around and shit.
But they just don't know how to rock bottom.
No, they were stiff and unpleasant to play.
I remember I'm a huge fan of the Royal Rumble, and I love that, especially in a video game. It's one of my funnest modes to play as. And I remember the way that you worked was that you picked up a guy, you walked him to the ropes, and you just threw him out.
Yeah.
And it was just like, this is stupid.
Gently tossed him out.
And then you didn't fight it or anything like that?
You did.
The guy couldn't fight.
No, you couldn't fight. Once you were up in that, like, fucking scoop slam of death, you're done.
Nah, that sucks.
And
I remember you'd just be walking around with them. I remember, like, actually, you would have me up on your shoulders about to throw me out. You'd be like, how do I throw you out? And just keep walking against the ropes and just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, man, that game was a huge disappointment. And eventually THQ lost the rights to WCW, and they went over to WWF, and they did some good ones like WrestleMania. But that was the first WWF game that wasn't like a smash button based, because before that it was just like you got into a grapple and you just smashed all the buttons and that's how you did moves, and it was a poor attempt at a first try for I guess Acclaim and wrestling games. They don't do them anymore.
Okay. All right.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that about wraps it up for this week. And despite having a good show, I feel like I'm getting pretty pissed off right now. I think I'm gonna quit this.
Oh, man. Quit this. You're pitch. Not going to quit on me, are you?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to rage quit. We're right in the middle. Now. I think of that's this. What we're
going to do. God, that's fucked up.
Are you lagging?
Host. No.
I don't even get my stats for this stupid game.
Camping. We're using a shotgun for a noob.
Buy me a ticket to your house, and I will fuck you up.